Thank you for joining us today for Volume 2 of our artist interview series, Articulations. This program is a collaboration between the Margaret Slaw Center for Women and Gender Equity and KHOI-FM. My name is Nancy Gebhardt, and we are thrilled to introduce you to five amazing artists in our community, from whom you'll hear every Monday at 4 p.m. during the month of October. This is the second interview in this volume of the series, and I'm excited to be speaking with Vivian M. Cook. Vivian, originally from the mountains of Arizona, serves as Community Engagement Director for the Eco Theater Lab, co-producer for Focal Theater Lab, and member of the Ames Climate Action Team. With a BA in Performing Arts in French, she is now a graduate student studying community development, sustainable agriculture, and youth programming management at ISU. In her studies and practice, Vivian works at the intersection of arts, community engagement, and social and environmental justice. Welcome, Vivian.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. I've been looking forward to this conversation, especially because I've been fortunate enough to work with you probably in several different areas over the last 5 years, and have always just really loved those experiences. And so I wanted to take the time to interview you to talk more about your arts practice, and especially the ways I'm really interested in the ways that you describe your work. In that bio that I just read, I love the way that you describe the intersection of your work. That is a perfect way to combine all the variety of interests and knowledge that you hold. So can we start by having you tell us more about your role as Community Engagement Director for Eco Theater Lab?
Yes. So the Eco Theater Lab is a small collective of artists in the Ames area, and we focus on doing what we are calling theater actions, mm-hmm. In and around community spaces, in public spaces, that focus on encouraging conversations around social and environmental justice and a variety of topics. So we've been doing that for the past 5 or 6 years or so. In my role in particular for the past few years, I'm community engagement director, which just means that I've taken on a role of coordinating, especially community partnerships, as we're developing these theater actions that are trying to engage community members in important conversations in ways that combine art and storytelling as a way to facilitate those conversations.
That's awesome. So you said 5 or 6 years that this group has been together. What was it that brought you together? Can you talk to us about that a little bit? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I can say that the primary three artists who are involved mm-hmm. are myself, Dr. Carissa Menifee, who's the artistic director of the Eco Theater Lab, and Taylor Sklenar. Mm-hmm. Carissa Menifee is also my mother, and we do lots of projects together because we work in very similar areas. And same with Taylor Sklenar, who is my partner as well. And Carissa works in the MFA program in creative writing and environment, mm-hmm. so along similar themes to what the Eco Theater Lab is doing. And a lot of those projects are in partnership with the MFA program, and Taylor is right now an MFA student in that program.
I love the idea and just the fact that you all are creating together, right? Like, what a wonderful way to just take advantage of the relationships that you have in such positive ways and like produce and create things together and put them out in the world together. I just think that's a wonderful partnership and such a great thing that you can all do that together. You know this already, am a huge fan of your mom.
Yes, me too.
another shout out to Carissa Menifee, another phenomenal Ames woman in the arts. And I always try and find ways to partner with her too. So I think that's amazing.
We love it.
Yeah, and so, you know, you have these personal relationships and then decided to kind of extend it to this creative relationship that also is producing art in public spaces. Can you talk a little bit maybe about beyond just who you are, but like what is it that you think is added in working as a collective? Like what is the value in kind of working in the arts as a collective?
As the three of us together?
Yeah.
I think, so like I mentioned, there's the three of us who have worked on most of the projects and theater actions that the Eco Theater Lab have done. But then every single project that we've done has pulled in a lot of community partnerships. And I think that's the main goal of the collective, is to have kind of this umbrella with a mission that's relevant to the work that we do and the values that we hold. Mm-hmm. And have that as its support for the different kinds of projects that we might do, that we initiate, or even that community members might initiate, or we decide to partner with people who are interested in similar conversations and facilitating those conversations, again, through art and storytelling, which we think could be really, really powerful.
Yeah.
So I think that would be the main thing that I would say about us working together. It seems like a really small group, which it is, but you know, my sister, Lena, she's been involved in most of the projects. And then we've partnered a lot with Iowa State University students, Ames community members, people around the Ames area, artists and not organizations. And so it's really just a place where we can kind of use it as an anchor, mm-hmm. to gather and connect people who may be coming from different backgrounds and disciplines, but want to engage in the conversations that we're interested in having.
Yeah, I love that just explanation too, because it's showing how kind of the collective is you three as the foundation, but that depending on the project, it expands, right? Mm-hmm. And it kind of brings more people in. So one thing that you described when you were first talking about Eco Theater Lab was the concept of theater action. Can you explain a little bit more what you mean by theater action?
Yeah, so I think for us, and lots of people and lots of artists are doing artistic actions or theater actions in a lot of different places, not just here in Ames. But what we love about that term and what we do with it is focusing on bringing theater and storytelling and art, like you said, into public spaces with the purpose of catalyzing some kind of action from community members. And that action could just be engaging, like I said, in an important conversation that I think for a lot of the challenges that we're facing, environmental and social, sometimes if we don't talk about them enough, mm-hmm. and make it a part of our kind of daily practice to engage in those conversations, that's when action doesn't happen, mm-hmm. I think. And so telling stories and engaging in, participating in, viewing, creating artwork, I think, is ways to ignite conversations that then can hopefully lead to action, whether that's political or social or just communal, mm-hmm. knowing, like getting to know more people, making sure that we're building connections and understanding who else in the community is invested in doing similar work, so that we know that we're not thinking about these ideas, worrying about these things alone.
Absolutely.
And that there is power in community. And I think that's a lot of what theater action means to us, and why most of the projects that we do are in partnership with other community organizations or individuals or artists.
Yeah.
And why a lot of those projects are in public spaces where ideally they can reach more people, even if people just stumble upon it.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
They're going about their daily lives.
Yeah, and what you're describing, right, is making sure that there's a visibility to the conversation, mm-hmm. And as you said, like a catalyst for starting larger conversations, but then also connecting people with sometimes, right, with a shared interest, but other times because of this location in public, mm-hmm. spaces, oftentimes maybe not, right? You're reaching people at so many different kind of knowledge levels, value levels. Can you talk a little bit more about the role of public space in those conversations?
Yes. So like I said, I think we might talk a little bit about Focal Theater Lab too, and in both of those collectives, both of those projects, most of the work we've done has been in non-traditional theater spaces, mm-hmm. basically not a place that's been designated to be a theater where there's audience and a stage and all of that, which those places can be really wonderful too.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I studied theater. My mom has taught theater. My parents met doing theater. Like, those are spaces that I've been used to, but not everyone feels welcome in those spaces. There are a lot of hidden rules and expectations, I think, that people sense when they go into more formal artistic spaces, whether that's a theater or another artistic space.
Maybe not just about how things should be created or produced in those spaces, but then also how audience should be receiving information in those spaces.
And how people should act. Yeah. And, you know, you have to sit down and be quiet. And these things aren't necessarily always true or what the people creating the work want. But I think there is this sense that you sit down, you be quiet, you clap at certain points, you wait to go to the bathroom until certain points. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think that can be uncomfortable, and not everybody is going to want to access those spaces, feel like they can, feel like they're welcome there. And there's just, there, I think, is something powerful about bringing artwork into really public spaces like the public library or the farmer's market or just on a random street somewhere in the middle of campus or at a coffee shop where people might be kind of doing their own thing. But they can, I think, and sometimes in those spaces, and I've even felt this myself, that you can be there, you can experience it, you can engage to the level you want to engage, and even knowing that you can leave if you want.
Sure.
I think is a kind of freedom.
Yeah.
That allows people to engage in the conversation in a different way than feeling like they're trapped into listening to what's happening or watching what's happening. And that's when we do projects like this, I don't find myself getting upset or worried or concerned if like people stop by and they see a little bit, let's say we're doing a performance on the street and they watch it for 5 minutes and then they leave.
Yeah.
Because that's the point of doing it there.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if someone walks out of a theater, there's this sense of, what happened, right? Because there's these unspoken rules, but instead it's, I can come and engage for the amount I want to, and maybe that's just an introduction to the conversation or a connection to someone or an organization for 5 minutes that wouldn't have even happened if there was an expectation of going for a long time or entering a specific space you've never been before and don't feel comfortable navigating.
Yeah. How have you worked, like when working with performers and artists and other people and kind of bringing them into this idea of like a really community engaged production of theater, especially because, you know, those the kind of unwritten rules that you've described are internalized by artists. And so I would imagine there's some difficulty in letting go of that, right? Where potentially the way the audience is responding to art in that public space where they're, like you're saying, watch for 5 minutes and then leave, that could be really disorienting and disruptive to a performer who might still have these kind of ideas in their head. So how do you prepare for that as an artist, as a producer, as a director? Like, how do you prepare for that in order to make sure that it's not disruptive, I guess, in a way? Disruptive is not the word that I exactly want to use, but I hope you understand what I'm asking.
No, I do. Yeah. So I think it is challenging.
Yeah.
I think some artists are really excited by that challenge.
Sure.
So one of the most recent performance projects we did was a contribution to the 2021 Climate Change Theater Action Initiative. And we toured it all around Ames, I think to at least 10 different spots. And it was all outdoor locations. And some of the artists did talk about how that was a challenge, and it was exciting that you had to vie for people's attention.
Yeah.
And I think one way that we have tried to prepare for that is, for instance, if we're going to have a performance that's at all of these outdoor locations, right, to, whenever possible, also rehearse outdoors in public locations.
Good. Yes, that makes
so
a lot of sense.
So you're kind of getting used to the other noises that are going on, whether they're natural or traffic or people talking or somebody else having an event nearby or whatever it might be. You start to get used to in the rehearsal process that that's going to happen, and that you want to have really strong performances, but there's also kind of this weird balance between formal and informal and being able to kind of go with the flow. And I remember one time at the farmer's market, it was really, it was really fun. Granted, this past performance, I was not a performer, so maybe I can say that looking on and taking pictures.
Sure.
But it was really fun to watch people. So we had the performance in the farmer's market, and there were some people who just walked straight through.
Yeah.
In the middle of the performance, which was totally fine. There were also, I remember one time where this little kid just stopped, like, what would be on stage, except not really, because there's no separation,
because you're,
right?
It's the sidewalk also.
It's right.
The
street.
Yeah.
But she just stopped and kind of stared right next to the performers. She was watching the performance, but like on stage with them.
Yeah.
Which was so fun. And the performers were amazing and they just kept going.
Yeah. That's
recognizing
amazing.
That she was just experiencing it, kind of being immersed because she was right there.
That's amazing. And probably a memorable experience for that child, too.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, oh, I don't know what that was, but that was cool.
Right. So challenging, yes, but I think that sometimes that can be really exciting, too.
Sure. I think that's all really fun. I was just thinking about that as, you know, someone who does produce and organize arts events, and you always wanting to anticipate, right, like what to expect and all the possibilities of things. And I feel like when you put yourself in those public spaces, it's such a vulnerable position to be in, where then you have to, you just have to be chill, right? To be like, okay, whatever happens, happens. And it, in ways, that's such a significant add, right, to the art itself, which I think is fantastic. Are there any planned projects coming up for Eco Theater Lab?
Well, we are currently engaged in new collaborative projects in both London and Dublin.
Oh, wow.
And I don't have a lot of details on that right now, but you can stay tuned on our social medias for updates there.
Sure. Can you, do you want to share the social media real quick so people know where to find it?
Yeah, it's just Eco Theater Lab, and we're on Facebook and Instagram.
Perfect.
And then also, I think we might talk about this a little bit later, but I am in two graduate programs right now, community development and sustainable agriculture, and both projects are connected to the Eco Theater Lab in some way.
So. It's very cool. I love the way that all these different parts of your life kind of overlap and intersect. I think it's wonderful. So let's also talk about your role as co-producer for Focal Theater Lab. Can you tell us more about the mission of this project?
Yes. So Taylor Sklenar, who I mentioned before, is my partner.
So I have to say, I had a good friend. I'm originally from St. Louis and had a good friend in theater there. And it was a husband and a wife and their children. And they all did theater together all the time. And in their, what do you call it, when the acknowledgments for the performers, they always wrote, "A family that plays together stays together."
Yes.
Is their theater motto.
I would agree with that. So yes, Taylor, he is primarily a playwright, actually. So I mentioned he's in the MFA program. And he founded Focal Theater Lab around 2015, I think. And the mission of the project is to share, amplify, and support the work of new and local playwrights. And we do that, again, in mostly in non-traditional theater spaces, especially because we're, a lot of times, through the New Script Series, which is the primary programming we do through Focal Theater Lab, then we're doing readings of new plays and wanting to do those. And again, like comfortable, not too formal places, so that it can be a conversation about the work and what the playwright's stories are trying to say, and get feedback from audience members about how it's playing, how the words are playing to an audience before they go on to the next stage of their development process.
Yeah, and I think that, again, the space and location is so important for facilitating that conversation, right? Like eliminating some of that perceived barrier between artist and audience, and allowing that space for open feedback and dialogue about the work, which I think is really interesting. Can you describe just a little bit for people the difference between presenting something as a reading versus a full production? Like, what is the role of a reading when developing a new script?
Yes. So for new play development, then readings are often really critical because they really do focus on the language and the words of the play, and for playwrights to hear that without focusing on all of the other production elements that will hopefully come into play later.
Yeah.
With all of the action and sets and costumes and props and lights and all the things that might go into a production, having time to really just focus on the words and the story and to hear that coming from performers,
mm-hmm.
And then being able to reflect on whether the story is coming through as they want, what are the reactions of the audience members, having this really, really focused attention to the words,
yeah.
I think is really helpful in a reading. And readings can look different ways. For the new script series, we often did what are sometimes called concert readings, where we just have music stands and the scripts are on the stands and actors have rehearsed, but then they're, again, just, they're standing there, the action of the play is read aloud, so we can hear what's supposed to happen in between. But again, gotcha. There's a focus on the words. And then we've also done staged readings where the actors aren't necessarily memorized and they have their scripts, but we do have some of those other production elements being started.
Sure.
To
like
to
movement around the space.
Yeah,
and
so people
like
will
that.
Be moving. It is staged where people are blocked and everything, and there's maybe some production elements like lights or some sets, props, costumes, that sort of thing.
Cool. And so I know you did one at Reliable Street,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us some more about that experience and that production?
Yeah, so a few summers ago, then we did a project with Reliable Street when they were kind of in their early stages.
Yeah.
So the inside wasn't open yet for the public, and they were so generous and wonderful and let us use their space for the performances of two new plays by local playwrights.
Mm-hmm.
So the first was a stage reading of Fission by Taylor, mm-hmm. Taylor Sklenar, by Sarah Etheridge. And Sarah had Smoke Break read during our new script series, and then the performer excited about the project and about the reading and making some revisions and then turning it into a fully produced show. And so we did that, which was cool to see that evolution from
Absolutely.
The new script series to a production. So we did those in conjunction with each other at Reliable Street. It was outdoors. It was wonderful. We did have one night that got rained, not rained out. We kept going.
During the rain, you didn't stop.
During the rain, we took a pause. And if you've been to Reliable Street, which is, if you haven't, you should go to Reliable Street in Lockwood. But they have kind of a covered area outside. So the
yeah.
audience ran under there and we scrambled to get tents up for the audience that we thought were going to be up in time and weren't. which again is one of those things of doing work outside that one of the biggest unpredictable
yeah.
things, which I honestly love, I've
yeah.
started to love, which is maybe weird for me because I'm very much a planner.
Yes.
I want to know
me too.
how, things
yeah.
go, how things are going to go. But I kind of love when the weather is super unpredictable
sure.
and you don't know and you have to just, you have to plan to play with it a
yeah.
little bit. So anyway, we did get rained on. The performers did amazing. The audience ended up being covered. Fission, the backdrop is supposed to be rain.
Okay.
That the actors.
So that was just, you know, the nature
right.
being.
So the actors were originally like creating the rain sounds themselves. They didn't have to really that night. But it was a staged reading,
yeah.
which meant that I had directed the play and was in the back watching the actors try to get through the play as their scripts were literally disintegrating
from all of the water.
Yeah, but it was also, like you said, it was one of the most memorable experiences.
For sure. And
I love it.
Yeah. And now obviously looking back on it, it probably feels a little bit easier to find the joy and laugh
yes.
in it in the moment. I can imagine just, you know, because when you're producing something, you're paying attention to everything, right? And like trying to problem solve in the moment too. But I love how that happened, right?
It is not our first show that we've done in the rain or partially in the rain. And weirdly enough, we look back at all of them with the joy.
Yeah, absolutely. You just have to like make sure, you know, the words don't completely disappear. Right. You still have the words to say, which right. I think is awesome. So yeah, there's only so much, you know, refreshing of the weather forecast you can do when preparing for an outdoor event. And then eventually you just have to go for it.
We thought it had bypassed us that day because we had been checking all day to see if we should cancel. And then we got there and we were like, it's going to be okay. And then an audience member had come up and we were kind of on the other side of the huge Reliable Street building.
Yeah.
And they just pointed like behind the building where we couldn't see. And we went, oh, what? And we stepped a little bit to the left outside the building and saw this giant cloud, like barreling toward us.
Just a cloud.
Yes. We're like, tits up now. The weather radar live.
Oh, well, there is that little, you know, Ames weather bubble sometimes, but not that day. Yeah. Not that day. They just wanted to provide the soundtrack for the play. That's exactly. That's all that cloud was trying to do. So you mentioned this a little bit earlier, the climate change theater action. And so I know since 2017, you've been an instrumental part of organizing that for Ames. I know also that it's an international initiative. So I'm just wondering if you could share a little bit more about why you brought it to Ames.
Yes. So Climate Change Theater Action, like you said, it is an international initiative that takes place every 2 years. And the goal of it, though, is to catalyze local action towards climate action.
Yeah.
And so it's very much this, I think it goes on kind of this think global, act local mantra that you hear sometimes because the international initiative commissions playwrights from all around the world to write very short plays addressing climate change in some way. Mm-hmm. And then any local group can say that they want to participate. And then we get access to those plays and we agree by participating to perform at least one of them and to pair it with at least one local action addressing climate change.
Sure.
So my mother, mm-hmm. Carissa Menefee, she knew one of the artistic directors, Chantal Villero, and she brought it. My mom decided to bring it to Iowa State with the Eco Theater Lab in 2017 was our first time doing it. And she asked me to work on the project. So we were co-producers and I directed it the first year. And then we've done it in 2019 and 2021 as well.
I love, again, that combination of theater and action, right? Mm-hmm. And even the accountability of the larger international organization to say, in order to participate, you also have to be directly involved with climate action of some kind in your own community.
Right.
And a way, again, to just make people responsible for that and emphasize how the arts can inform action.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's a biannual event. So the next one is going to be this coming year, 2023. If people want to get involved in climate change theater action, where can they get more information?
I would say to pay attention to the Climate Change Theater Action website and socials because they will give updates on what's happening in 2023 for sure. And then the Eco Theater Lab will for sure be doing another iteration in 2023 as well. So pay attention to our website and socials.
Perfect. So all the projects we've discussed are connected to a purpose directed at social change and or environmental justice, often the overlap and intersection of both of those things. Can you just talk a little bit about how and when that became a significant focus of your art practice?
Yes. So one, as y'all can probably tell by now, my mother is a huge inspiration in the work that I do, and she has been involved in theater for social change and those kinds of theater practices for a long time, basically as long as I can remember. The school I grew up going to, as well as the school my parents taught at when I was younger, were very focused on environmental themes and the intersection of environmental and social justice, which I think are interconnected and they can't really be separated from each other, and how we treat the environment and the land around us and the life around us, I think, very much reflects how we treat one another.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, has always been part of the conversations I've been having in, you know, educational, community, family settings, and especially, I think especially with the start of doing climate change theater action in 2017, that was probably when my work really shifted to focusing on those kinds of stories and theater actions, maybe even more than before. So yeah. I was in undergrad at that time and then decided to go into grad school to continue to explore that intersection.
Yeah. So does that value and that kind of personal kind of purpose inform the things we've talked about already of like bringing theater into public spaces and engaging in the community in those kind of community collaborations in more intentional ways? Is that all kind of connected? Do you see that?
Yes. Yeah. I think definitely. And yes, I think like you said, thinking about what during undergrad, so I studied theater and French, and in undergrad, just thinking about what are my values as an artist and how does my work as an artist intersect with values about justice and community and authenticity and finding ways to connect people,
yeah,
which I think is what I found that I really, really love to do, that I am a director and a performer in my own artistic practice. But I found that what I love to do is connecting community members and community organizations and artists to one another to find ways to come together and have conversations and have support too.
Yeah. And one way that you did that combined all of those things you were just describing, was a project that you recently concluded called The Art of Climate Planning. And this is when I know that I saw it at the farmer's market. I saw it on the Iowa State campus. I saw it in downtown businesses. I saw it at the Octagon, maybe even Reliable Street, if I'm remembering.
Yes.
It kind of was everywhere around Ames, which was a wonderful thing to give people extended time and also to revisit it because it was a project that was always changing and evolving and being added to, which I think was wonderful. But can you tell us a little bit more about the Art of Climate Planning project?
Yes.
It's kind of a little bit of a tongue twister. Art of Climate yes. Planning project.
Yes. So the Art of Climate Planning was one of the Eco Theater Lab's most recent projects, supported by a City of Ames Small Art Grant, which we were really fortunate to have that support so that we could commission 7 local artists to create artworks with the intention of encouraging community engagement in the Ames climate action planning process, which is ongoing right mm-hmm. now. So this project, of course, ended up kind of intertwining with Climate Change Theater Action 2021.
Mm-hmm.
The Art of Climate Planning, we started the project in summer 2021 and it didn't end until spring 2022.
Okay.
So it was a very long project, like you said,
because
yeah. we moved the artwork around. So once the artists were commissioned, they created their pieces, and then the Eco Theater Lab took the pieces and started moving them to basically all of the touring locations we went to for climate change theater action. So mm-hmm. we had performances and also visual artwork and then resources about climate action at all those locations. And then the Art of Climate Planning continued through the next spring, going into different businesses and community spaces to try to raise awareness that Ames was developing a climate action plan mm-hmm. and how people could get involved. So the structure of the project was somewhat inspired by the Octagon's Outreach to Change project
mm-hmm.
a couple of summers ago, where artwork was in businesses and community spaces windows.
Yeah.
So it was really accessible mm-hmm. to people to see. Regardless of what was going on with the pandemic or anything else,
right.
or whether people went into the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm pretty involved with the Ames Climate Action Team. So the purpose of Climate Change Theater Action 2021 and the Art of Climate Planning were both to intersect with the local climate action planning process that was happening.
Yeah. And tell people this is how to get involved and right. make sure that people understand that it's important for them to communicate their thoughts and their thinking to the city as they're going through this planning process and making right. sure that they're hearing all of those voices.
Right.
Right. Can you talk as this, like, it was a massive undertaking, right? And again, even yes. just the extended amount of time, coordinating all the different elements, again, having visual art combined with performance art and a number of other things. What was the most challenging part of putting all of this together?
I think for the art of climate planning, probably the most challenging part was just how long it was,
yeah.
which was also one of the more exciting things because I'm used to doing performance projects, which generally, not always, of course, but generally have, especially in academia, have kind of a, you know, 6-week window or
yes,
something,
they,
right?
Yes, and then
it's
done.
Not a 6 or 8 week window. Yeah. And this was over 6 months
yeah.
of about 6 months of the artwork actually being out in the community and then planning with the artists and checking in with the artists as they're developing their pieces prior to that. So that was really wonderful, but it was challenging to be kind of keeping track of where the artwork was, coordinating new places for it to go so that it would reach more community members mm-hmm. for that many months.
Yeah.
Which was really cool when it was done, though.
Talking about like the community members that have had the chance to interact with it, myself being one of them. But can you talk a little bit about how the public responded, like as you were moving this from place to place and then also like witnessing people interacting with it?
Yes. So one thing that was interesting about the art of climate planning, when it was paired with climate change theater action, mm-hmm. then we were on tour with the performance. And so we saw people interacting at the different locations where we performed.
Yeah.
And then we got to see people responding to the artwork, responding to the performances. And I think the biggest element there for me was just seeing that the artwork and or the performances did make people stop a mm-hmm. lot of times. Stop and pause and look to see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I think it would be hard to not stop with right. that giant trash bag puppet yes. sculpture.
Brittany right? Rabune had a huge puppet yes. made of trash
yes.
called Disposed.
Yes.
And yeah, it was ginormous and a little bit frightening.
It would, because it would kind of like walk too and like move very slowly. And
at yes. the performances, yeah. people actually puppeteered it. And it was yeah. very cool.
It was amazing.
One of the best times was when it was puppeteered along the street during the farmer's market. And then we had one of the community engagement team members of Climate Change Theater Action. I think it was actually Zoe Faistin.
Okay.
Who's on this interview series.
Yeah.
Wandering after the puppet, handing out some information about, like, this is what the climate action plan is. Here's how you get involved. So yeah. we're directly combining here's a resource with, oh my gosh, what's this giant puppet?
Yes.
And I want to see it and I want to look at it. So yeah. I think it's really hard to tell the impact of projects like this because it's really slow
yeah.
and it's not immediate. I might see somebody at an event, but I don't know what they're going to do with that information. I don't know if they heard the information, you know. But it was cool to see that people did stop and respond. They did hear something about yeah. the climate action plan. And this wasn't necessarily a good thing, but did kind of inform us that the artwork was playing a role in raising awareness when we would see people and we would ask them, like, have you heard that Ames is developing a climate action plan?
Mm-hmm.
And quite a few people said no.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a good thing, but then now they did know.
Yes.
Because there was this weird thing happening on the street.
yeah.
right? And then in particular, kids, I think it was really cool to watch children be really drawn mm-hmm. to the artwork and wanting to engage with it and maybe bring their families along.
Absolutely.
That was something that was really exciting.
Yeah.
And then when the art of climate planning was in other places without the performance, I didn't actually get to see people interact with it that mm-hmm. much, which was kind of new.
And another kind of experiment in letting go, right?
Yeah.
Putting the art out there and just letting it go and
yeah.
seeing what happens. But I love how you recognize that the process is slow, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that's hard to accept sometimes. But the idea that or the impact that the art can have isn't always immediate. You don't always see it, but it kind of emphasizes the need for artists to be tenacious, right? To keep creating and keep putting out stuff out there and, you know, making weird things happen on the street, like you just said, and so, or like that you described. And so I'm so excited that, and just so grateful that you continue to do that through Eco Theater Lab, Focal Theater Lab, and all of these things that you're involved with. And so I'm very grateful. I know you're almost done with your graduate degree. What does that look like, and what's coming up next for you?
Yes. So I'm finishing one of my degrees, community development, this semester. And what I've done for my final project for that, I mentioned, was connected to the Eco Theater Lab because I've developed a what we're calling a citizen artistry model for community engagement, which is basically a model for approaching artistic projects that I'm going to give to ISU Theater and the Eco Theater Lab.
That's amazing.
Combines community engagement strategies with artistic practices that these two organizations already use in many of the projects they use, but that they develop. But the community engagement practices, finding ways for them to be more intentionally intertwined to focus on community partnerships and community conversations.
What a wonderful way to conclude that degree too, that really emphasizes, I think, a lot of the values you have, and even just the way you've said that you're giving it back to the community, right? Like doing this not just for the personal gain of, you know, knowledge building and all those things that are wonderful about education, but making sure that it's something that then also informs the art practice in the community that we live in. So I think that's awesome. And I think we could talk about so many other things. And I'm so grateful for all that you do in Ames and through theater, performance, the arts, your entire family. I think you're all wonderful. And I'm so glad
that you
were able to be part of this interview series.
Thank you so much for doing it and for inviting me and all the work that you do.
Yeah.
It's very inspiring.
So where can people, just to remind people, where can they find you and keep up with what you're doing online? So we said the Eco Theater Lab has social media.
And yes. So I would say primarily to keep up with what I'm doing would be through the organizations I've involved
sure.
with. I don't post that much on my personal social media.
Yeah.
So the Eco Theater Lab has a website and Facebook and Instagram, and so does Focal Theater Lab. And then, like I mentioned, I'm also involved with the Ames Climate Action Team, and there's not going to be anything in particular about what I do on those platforms, but I would encourage people to check out what they're doing because they're doing really cool work.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Vivian. And thank you for listening to Articulations, brought to you by the Margaret Sauce Center for Women and Gender Equity and KHOI Community Radio 89.1 FM. Our interview is edited by Rosie Rowe. Join us next week, Monday at 4 p.m., for a conversation with Sang Lee. To round out the hour, we invite you to sit back and enjoy a selection of songs picked by Vivian. You can find the full Articulations playlist on Spotify or on the SLAS Center website.